Well, man, how's it been going? I have not barely touched the game today. I know you've been playing for quite a while. How has the patch affected your plans?
I think there's always solutions to things. I think like we kind of knew a big Doomer patch was coming, right? Like we knew that we were gonna get. I think I have like the build nerf tag on every single YouTube video I've uploaded for a guide so far, and that's been consistent. But there's already a fix for Temporalis, so like the infinite blink stuff, there's like infinite loops that already exist now. That don't crash your instance that are like guaranteed, so doesn't really change anything, I guess.
Okay. That latest build that you put out, I think it was like 11, 12 days ago. I watched it for the first time a few days ago, the Temporalis Auto Bomber. Man, it hurt my eyes. I don't know how you play those builds for any length of time, dude. It's crazy.
I was talking to my partner about this because she like I don't I also like played PoE2 with her, like just to like walk through things and like just check out what it was like. And she's like, oh, she walked the first time, she's like, it's so gross, everything's disgusting. I'm like, I've never seen the things you're pointing out, like the grime or like the fucking, you know, whatever's on the floor, or like a dead zombie. I think like when you play a lot of video games from like a really young age, it's like my brain has rotted, so I don't like see the graphics, you know. It's just like I see the number, I see the skill, maybe the skill effect, and that's about it. And then the rest of it's like the loot filter.
The first time you played PoE2, I think it was back, it was at the March playtest of last year in LA. Was that the first time? Even then, were you still, it's obviously a whole bunch of people, their first touch of Path of Exile 2. Were you already thinking, like, okay, how can I make this busted build? You were not paying attention to all the different parts of it, like the, like you said, environments, the monsters, all that stuff.
We can did. I didn't really like play that. I guess like I was hanging out with Alec, right? Me, Alcazar, and Mathel were sitting together, and we were just like hanging out and just at the very, very back. And like we were playing through it, and I was mostly just trying to like kind of giving the game like an honest shot, but we were mostly watching what other people were doing from our vantage. And it was interesting to watch like a lot of the people that clearly have never played Path of Exile before, like just mostly journalist invites, I guess, come in, and they had a really different experience, I guess, right? And it was pretty cool to see.
Well, speaking of that, dude, a perfect segue. Thank you so much. I was going back into the earliest days of your channel and I did a little bit of Googling and I saw that you used to write for a gaming website, like an esports website about Path of Exile.
I used to write. I did some stuff in like, because I was gonna go back in like 2016 or something. Are you American?
I am, yes.
Okay, so in
Midwest.
Canada we have a thing called The Score, which is kind of like ESPN. And
Yes,
I
I
wanted
have
to
heard.
go write for them. So I remember I went in for their interview back in like 15 or 16, and their starting salary was like $37,000 something to live in Toronto, which is like not really covering the cost of rent kind of thing. And I remember thinking at the time, like, yeah, it's never gonna be it. But before that, like, I've been trying to build up some degree of a portfolio because I was like, you know, like esports cool. I don't want to game anymore. I want to do something kind of adjacent, maybe. So yeah, I did a lot of like League of Legends writing stuff because it was after I retired.
I saw you played for Complexity. Why did you choose League of Legends versus Dota? I'm a Dota 2, or I used to be a big Dota 2 player back in my childless days, and I just watch very casually now, but what drew you to League instead of Dota? I'm kind of curious.
I think it's like luck of the draw, right? Like you just do what your friends do, I think, when you're younger a lot of times. And I'm like just happy to hang out with people, I think, when I was young, and I just didn't really care. And then
Did you ever
eventually
play
just like
Dota 2?
I played for the first time last year. There were quite a few like pros in my chat watching, I guess, like because like a lot of pros watch play PoE and then like they just dabble, and it was really, really bad. Like I don't think I've ever been made fun of as much as I did during that Dota 2 stream ever. And I was being coached by Alec at the same time, who's like he's like okay, I think he's like the highest rank. And he was very unhelpful, extremely
Really?
unhelpful. So that was fun.
Really? Did you play with real people or were you doing bot matches?
I did a bot match to start. After that, it was definitely not bot matches. I was getting farmed, man, like immediately. It was nuts. It's a cool game. I would play it, but I think like it's hard to actually like find the time, especially the older you get, to like get into a game, right? So
100%. That's why I don't play anymore. And sometimes your 1 hour or your 30-minute session turns into a 2 hour, 2.5 hour game. Oh my gosh, that used to be the absolute shit when I was like 14, 15 years old. We play until like 5 a.m. Oh, it was very fun. I gotta dig up that stream though. That sounds pretty fun to watch. So,
No. Hopefully it's gone.
that's sweet. The journalist thing that I saw, it was an interview of Chris Wilson back in like 2015, 2016, which was crazy to see. It wasn't a live interview or anything. It was just a whole bunch of questions that you sent his way. I was curious, just before we get into the current day Path of Exile 2 stuff, knowing what you know now, having created content for so long about, you know, builds and the general state of Path of Exile, what one or two questions would you ask Chris Wilson right now, if you could, if you had the opportunity? I know that's a pretty big ask. A lot of people are wondering.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of hard. I think back in the day, because I think about the takeaways from that interview, the one thing that I remember was what he thought was dangerous at the time.
And yep, for him, that's was talking about defenses and danger. You're 100%. Yep, yeah,
like scaling that at the same time. I think these days, though, it's like clearly that's gone really out of hand. I think what I'm more interested in is like, what is the vision for balance? Like, how do they see skill balance in this game? How does he balance across different classes, different senses? Because I think in a PvE game, the idea of balance is one that, if you choose to engage in the debate in such a way, you can just say, hey, you know, we're fighting monsters. It's easy to beat the game in whatever way, or you don't, or you experience it. So it's not relevant. Like, you know, go kick rocks. But at the same time, like, we're human. And we see what's around us, and we have a comparative lens to all the builds that we're able to engage with. So then skill balance does affect, I think, how people see. I think, like, Harden loves to play melee. I love to play melee too, actually, but over and over again, it's like much weaker. Not in PoE 2, but in PoE 1. There's such a big discrepancy between like melee and non. Bone shatter aside. So I think like even when you really want to do something, having such a big discrepancy in power and having the game feel less fun because, I mean, you have eyes, right? That can be kind of difficult. So I'm wondering what they're always feeling, how they want to tune the sliders, how much adjustment they want to do, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I think another interesting topic to really touch on a little bit that's related to that is the entire definition of fix versus nerf. And I know that's something that you might have some disagreements with them on, because I know they just had just went on the pod with DM and Ghazi, and they were talking about, yeah, we fixed some builds that obviously weren't supposed to be, you know, operating as intended, but they were still very strong. You know, I think I'm thinking of cast on crit, cast on freeze, a few other things. How were those builds operating immediately after? I've seen some of the stream clips and a few extended segments. Were they, you know, busted into the ground, 99% crap, as, you know, a lot of people probably saw those clips or, you know, repeated that? Or were they like mediocre, but not something that you would actually want to play at the end game? Because you want to play the most powerful stuff, right?
Yeah. Have some crit. Did you play much during like the first week? I know you were really busy at the time, but like on before the first patch, you get to play.
I did, but I went completely blind, no prep. I was just going through very slow, so it took it. It was like games journalist level. It was that guy who released like, oh, it took me 40 hours to get through the first three acts. That was literally me. Extra life. That was me, John. So I didn't get to end game that fast, but I knew there were a lot of crazy things going on, especially with Cock. So.
I thought on release Cock was balanced like really well in the most uninteresting way. It had an internal cooldown of I think 1.16 seconds, so the same as PoE1. I'm pretty sure that was hard coded in. So it was all about getting as much energy as you could, regardless of what it was. Post patch, they added all the power calculations and everything, right? Where like now it's like if you hit a unique monster, you get 20 times more energy. And a white monster, there's like much worse things because ailment threshold per monster is also really different. The multipliers for ailment threshold are really different for unique monsters.
Yeah.
So basically what happened post-patch was if you were playing cast on crit in any sort of usable way pre-patch, you couldn't do a map after. But you could one-shot a boss. Okay. Like, I have this thing right now, like a lot of builds I'm playing right now and just like testing out different interactions each day, it's the constant same problem. You can't actually kill a single white monster, but on bosses you're hitting... Like I'm not exaggerating. Like, I fight a white monster. I literally ripped a white monster last time on Hardcore. And I could one-shot every boss in the game. So, it's, like, interesting. They still haven't really... I think that's, like, what their idea for Cock is. The more I hear about the nerf, it's, like, these meta gems are meant to be, like, a utility supplement that doesn't require an extra button for bosses. That's my general understanding. But I don't know what their vision is there. So, on the flip side, we just have things like cast on Dodge Temporalis, which break the game entirely. But that's because it solves the one problem, which is how do you clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you bring up a good point where maybe they want people to invest greatly in a Cock setup and sacrifice a lot of defensive buffs or the like with spirit? Because what's the investment on Cog? I have not touched the gem at all. Is it a high investment, like 60 plus spirit or something crazy?
100. I mean, like, what's the defensive investment for spirit? Or, like, what's the defensive, like, what are our options defensively for spirit?
I'm playing a monk, so I'm playing an invoker. So I basically have all, I have Herald of Thunder, and then the rest of my auras are just defensive. So there's like the Ghost Dance one from Path of Exile one, you know, integrated into PoE2, and then the Wind Dancer one. So it helps me, but I know maybe at the high end, that kind of takes to the wayside as you try to feed in other stuff. Like, I know there's a lot of spirit-based stuff in the Invoker Ascendancy that you can sacrifice defenses for more damage and the like. So I'm assuming that's what happens, you know, as you build up those defenses in other ways.
I mean, I guess, like, Martial is different. Martial Weapon, it's really weird how they did that. Because, like, Wind Dancer is nice. Mm-hmm. There's actually Wind Dancer Autobombers right now as well that can, like, do stuff like that and throw them out. But, or I guess it's been nerfed now. But Wind Dancer is, like, only Martial Weapon, right? So, like, as a caster, if you're playing, like, Wand or Scepter, like, you're already limited your options. You have Grim. You don't really have Ghosts, because it's just not worth it, I think. And then that's just, it's just Grim, right, as a supplement. And 30 Spirit you can get off anywhere, especially in Trade League. It's like a Helm of Corruption or Scepter offhand is, like, plus almost 200 Spirit. An offhand Scepter, so it's, like, really ridiculous. I just don't think, like, I would love to have more defensive options, like, we do in PoE1 for, like, Spirit Reservation, but we really don't.
Right. Do you think a lot of those are... I think it might be obvious that the game is unfinished and there's a lot of stuff that are going to be coming into the game with, like, you know, the Druid, the Templar. I bet they're going to bring in a bunch of defensive auras, or this is just me hoping that is the case. And if it's not the case now, I think a lot of people are playing exactly what you're saying. Like, we just want more options in the game. We don't want to be cornered into this one area that is the best for caster builds, which are, I know you said you liked melee. Are casters and, like, Autobombers your favorite? I feel like that's what you always build in Path of Exile. You make something that's super broken where you can just explode the entire screen with almost no effort by the time you finish putting a ton of effort into the build.
Interesting, that's the perception. I think there's two components,
Hey, I see clips and I watch your videos. I don't watch the full streams, so...
No, I don't mean in terms of me, in terms of the builds. The first thing is that, like, I think it's much easier to construct casters for the most part in like, video games, for the, like, just in general. Yeah. Like, for some reason, the way that spell scaling tends to go, like, eliminates a lot of variables, things like accuracy. PoE2 has a really bad thing of... Are you playing Mace?
I'm playing Quarterstaff. Yeah.
Did you play Mace on your SF character before?
I am playing Mace on my Hardcore Solo Self-Found character, yes.
Yeah. Did you try Volcanic yet?
I have not. I'm like level 9. I'm getting there. Oh, okay. I'm getting there.
The Molten Steel is like an abomination. Oh, I guess like Rolling Slam, things like that. They just force you to move. And those things are like an abomination. But like there's a lot of things with attack skills I think really make it complicated. And then when you get the math of attack scaling, it's also hard to do. Whereas the tree for casters is intuitive. It's always like spell damage, crit. There's one or two mechanics you can leverage. So I think it's easier to make those builds. But I think the second component is I've been spending a lot more time on PoE2 on Bilibili, just like one of the Chinese video sites.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And there's basically this conundrum. It's either you play a build that has a lot of damage, that's a stacker, and then the other solution where people are interested in content is you play a build with infinite damage, like in a literal sense, and it's not worth doing anything else. So if you haven't found a new infinite damage loop, it's almost not worth like talking about in terms of how they scale.
Can you go into that? What's an infinite? Because I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean by an infinite damage loop?
Before we were playing like... Oh, you saw the Temporalis thing. That was one example.
Yep.
The one that got popularized 2 weeks ago was... There's a curse support called Burning Inscription, and it makes a burning ground. For some reason, that has a trigger rate about 5 times higher than comparable ignites. And then... If you use gemling, you can put 2 support gems in, so then you have a burning inscription also with a triggered curse and cast ignite. And because it's not a skill, it's a support, it can generate energy.
Yeah.
So as long as the energy generation is greater than the cost it takes to trigger the next skill, you end up with a loop. And then if it's more on the axis, like if it's, let's say you need 100 energy and you gain 105 over the ticks, that means the damage will scale infinitely, right? Like 10 seconds in, maybe you're doing 200 damage per second, and then 30 seconds in, you're doing 40,000, and then your instance crashes if you don't do enough.
So fascinating, man. No, that's crazy.
I think that's like their whole mentality, which I like. I think it's like, why settle, you know?
That's interesting. So they try to go, it's infinite damage. They're trying to scale up to the point of not crashing the instance, essentially. right?
Yeah.
That's wild. What is their, I'm curious now, if you're reading opinions on Bilibili, are they enjoying PoE 2? What is their reception similar to like the Western community, like, you know, Reddit, our Twitch communities, YouTube and the like?
I can't read Chinese, so.
Oh, you're just seeing the videos. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang it. Now I'm curious, dude. Now I want to know. Because I know they have some killer memes, as I've been seeing the past few days, as people are looking at Red Note and the like. So, okay. Note for later. So, now I'm a little curious about the differences between Path of Exile 1 and Path of Exile 2. Build creation. And I'm really focusing on builds because I feel like that is exactly your forte, man. Your channel is filled with ridiculous interactions throughout both games so far. How do you come up with these build ideas? You just sit, like you do on stream, you sit there, you test interactions right now in Path of Exile 2 because we don't have like a POB. And then with Path of Exile 1, do you just sit in POB, test a whole bunch of stuff, go into the game, try it out?
POB 2 is weird. I think like at the start of POB 2, we were thinking, be normal, like as much as possible, like trying to find like generic scalars, do what you can.
Yeah.
And then as POB 2 has come out, I think like, there's a realization, like a great humbling, realizing that it's such a new game and rules don't apply. Most of the bug fixes to the most recent patch had to do with wording not meaning wording. Tags were missing. Tags existed but weren't written. Functions missing. There's still a missing tag, actually, that's responsible for a new infinite loop this patch that I'm going to be playing with. So in that sense, a lot of rules don't apply, and a lot of it is just like keeping your eyes peeled and looking at what's available. So actually, most of the builds I'm playing like aren't my builds. I had one build. Okay, as far as like, it's like you think of something like a bow hand of wisdom and action character that I was using ball lightning. There's like elements of that which I was like the first person pioneer, like more like not pioneer, popularized, because you don't know what people are doing, right? But like the first I'm seeing it is like, yeah, like for example, Orb of Storms didn't work with Lightning Rod. A lot of people were like, Orb of Storms doesn't work with Lightning Rod, and it doesn't. For some reason, if you link chain support with it, which doesn't actually change the function, by the way, because it can already chain, it starts to work with Lightning Rod. It can trigger all the little arrows on the ground and kind of give you, like, you know, 10 times damage, let's say.
Yeah.
So some of it is, like, looking at something that's adjacent and asking myself, like, what was their intention? What does the script say right now in terms of what that is? What is the possibility that what their intention is doesn't line up with what's on the text, and that what's on the text doesn't line up with what is actually working? In PoE1, though, it was, like, I think just easier in a lot of ways, because we have such a base of knowledge. You know, when it's all incremental, you're looking at one or two things, you find it's not about, like, a new class or ascendancy. It's how can we make a special interaction that no one's thought about before? What is the least used thing? I think the most recent thing that was really different that I made was Arcanist Brand with Eye of Winter.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but basically projectiles, like, Arcanist Brand had the tag that said, like, it's got max distance. Mm-hmm. Which is not on anywhere else in the game. And because of that, Eye of Winter previously couldn't return, but if you linked it to that and then put projectile speed over 176, it could start returning. And it was like things like that, right? So like looking where people aren't looking and then just trying to find that. But otherwise, like, it's not like a strength, I would say. I like to make a lot of builds, but
yeah,
my optimization is pretty weak. And efficiency-wise, it's like what I consider acceptable, but I think like the best tier of build makers are much, much, much more efficient than me. In terms of how they like solve their puzzles. Yeah.
You have a great memory and you can explain these pretty well. For someone like myself, I am not a build creator. I rarely understand all the functions and everything that are going on in POB. I just used POB for the first time ever, like earlier this year. Yeah, I had never touched it before, but people were encouraging me to. And I did learn a lot of stuff there, and I started to learn how all these different tags interact with each other. And I have appreciated how in Path of Exile 2, it does seem a lot more intuitive to do these things in-game as opposed to relying on a third-party tool. Do you feel that way as they fix the game more and more and they add the proper tags and the proper descriptions and everything? Do you think people will be able to experiment in-game with the gem system and with everything available to them instead of relying on these other tools, even though, of course, they're going to be there for those people who want to use them?
Path of building's ever been important.
Yeah.
In PoE1, it's not important either.
Can you say that louder, Jung? Can you say it?
I mean, just think about it though, right? Like, what is it? What does it really change? Like, we all can see what 10% means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And POB, the nice thing is, I was talking to, yeah, it looked like Danny was at the March event as well, right?
He might have been. There were so many people. I don't know.
Oh, no, maybe he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Okay, well, local identity was, I guess I DM'd him a while back, and he was talking about how everything they do in POB is not automated. Every single thing they do is manual, every calc. So, there was an issue with something a while back, I forgot, some sort of fire skill, which didn't calc correctly based on, it was this. The taming, Frostblaze of Katabasis is a cold skill. It has a dot portion that's not a spell, it's melee, but it's not an attack. And taming says increase elemental damage of attacks or something that's conditional. For some reason, POB it interacted together. It's 50-50 whether or not it worked in game. In game, we tested it. It didn't work. And then local identity messaged me. He was like, yeah, we tested this. This part does work. This part doesn't. So on, so on. And then they write that into the code manually. The whole tool is just based on testing interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like, you can kind of do everything in game. It's obviously a huge pain, but every time we want to test something really different, it's a huge pain. I'm sitting in Chimera Wetlands every day. Pulling one monster over to see like how many wither stacks is something gonna apply, right? And like that's really frustrating. Like they should just give us a target dummy. I don't really understand. Like the game is new, so test things out, fix them early, get the bugs like gotten rid of, and then. But then instead of kind of obfuscating things with like, oh, you know, just go into combat, kind of see what happens. All that ends up with is like I think a really big bowl of spaghetti code for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. So the target dummy. Is that something that you're very pro for, PV2?
What do you feel about it?
For my purposes, I don't think it would be very useful for me, because I'm not testing a whole bunch of interactions. Mm-hmm. I don't see many cons against it, though, especially since we have damage numbers in-game now. And we can just go to, you know, a big stationary boss that we know is always going to be targetable, and we can go test that stuff out on them. I don't see a real con against it. I think they even said it themselves. Like, you know, I think they were asked, like, well, what's wrong with having a target dummy? And they were thinking, well, I don't know. I don't actually know if there's a problem with it. I wonder if it's just maybe taking people out of the fantasy of the game and just going in your hideout and testing damage. But people already do that, like you said, with a lot of extra steps. Pulling one, that sounds like hell, dude. Pulling one monster from a pack to try to test stuff out in interactions, like, that's rough.
We just gotta do it. I think, like,
yeah.
I mean, I think there's like a lot of people think I'm really toxic, and that's not untrue. But I would say it's selective when it comes to builds. That's like one massive pet peeve. It's like never make a statement, an objective statement. Like, never make a statement of fact, an objective statement of fact that is objectively untrue. Okay. I don't care if someone says I like this or I think this is great or I think, you know, or the, like I watched some of videos say that were like. And like people in maps, they say like tier 6 mapping, they have like 5k DPS. Still interesting, it's fun to watch. Yeah. But when someone says something like, this is the strongest fire skill, or this is like, this is better than this, or this works this way, that's the most annoying. This works this way and it doesn't. My God. That's why the rigor is worth it, right? Because then you can ensure that you have to stress test everything someone says, like every single thing. Even yesterday, I asked my Elemental Storm. They actually added a patch note. I'm 100% sure they changed something last night. Because it was added as an addendum at the bottom.
Yeah.
But Elemental Storm was generating energy. But people were saying, like, oh, it doesn't. You know, it's a trigger skill. It doesn't. It's not now, but before the patch it was. Even though people thought it wasn't before the patch because of how they thought about the skill. But it was missing a tag, and it functioned differently, and it actually had cool interactions. But just, like, all about rigor, right? Because people will just say shit. You just need to verify everything yourself. It's like, if you don't see video of it, can you really trust it?
Yeah, you definitely put in the legwork with your builds, right? And you post them after you've done all of this research. That's essentially what it is. It's a whole bunch of testing, failing, succeeding. Then you finally post the build. And you do so in a way, I think, that speaks to quite a few people. You're very direct with your style of delivering your builds and everything. Is that something that you've really fine-tuned over the past 3-4 years of making Path of Exile content? Or is that something that you knew that you wanted to do once you jumped in and started making stuff? Like, you saw, like, oh, I don't know. I thought you were leaning in, like, laughing, but no, you were just adjusting. I was like, is that something that you saw missing from the community and you wanted to try to fill that void, or that's just your style?
When you came into POV and started making a lot more content over the past, 2 years, I'm sure, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I would prefer you correct me if I'm inaccurate, you saw like a dearth of a certain type of content, like editorial content that focused on describing the game, thinking about the game, just more conversational, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's, I did almost no build stuff. I put out like a Chieftain Infernal Blow for Trial of the Ancestors, and I failed horribly. But yeah, just commentary and everything. That's what I stayed
on. You saw it, and then you, like, you're not thinking, like, is what's my... Like, I think there's probably degrees in which you're watching on content, but a lot of it's like, this is who you are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's for accurate. Me, and I probably had a similar experience then in... Like, I guess, like, before Expedition, so 2.15, that's, like, 3 years ago now, I, like, didn't really make any content or anything, because I don't really care. Like, I just didn't really think of content creator stuff until probably the past half year. I just like to share builds and share videos. Yeah. But at the time, I was already playing the same thing every league. It was the idea that I play a softcore trade, 2 to 3 days, I like to get my head under on the first day, farm 2 or 3 more 4 days, and then stop playing the league. But I remember having this huge peeve, this two-fronted peeve. One was that I felt like people had these 30-minute videos that I was like interested in their build, and they would just start talking, and there was no substance there. And the second was that the builds were just bad, I guess. So then I wanted to just like share things to try to like raise a standard. And there's obviously, just as caveat, there's obviously going to be things that are always going to be better than what I do, and always going to be like, there's always that. It's not like I think like what I'm playing is best. I just think it's a certain standard that I wouldn't like reach below. Because I think it's a low floor. It's like relatively low effort content. But the other side is like, during my master's, before I went into like my PhD, there was this guy called Jordan, and my roommate and I were like hanging out, we were in a seminar, and we were talking to this guy, and he was really smart, for sure. He's like a prof at U of T now. And great guy, super interesting. But my friend was talking about how like he's like a machine. And we were kind of just like musing back and forth, we were like really high, and we talked about like how he talks. And we realized that he uses very, very few words that aren't necessary. Anytime that 4 words can become one, it was being done. It was a very natural flow for him. And I became very admiring of that, I think.
Yeah.
But as a streamer, you know, you just fucking yap all day. It's like, you're like 8 hours. Here's what you say, right? It's better to just fill the noise. Yeah.
I get that too. One big one that I know a lot of people rely on all the time is like inserting that constantly into writing. And I started trying to remove that from all my writing, all of my speech and everything, where there's a lot of cases where, you know, you don't need that word and you always add it in just for no real reason, just because, okay, other people generally use this. I've tried to do that so hard. And that's what I really appreciate about that style of video, that it is so to the point and it is showcasing the build, because honestly, I don't think I have a I don't have a low attention span. I'll sit, I'll watch a video essay, I'll listen to a long podcast, I'll be able to focus. But when consuming something like Path of Exile content and people showcase, okay, here's the spreadsheet, here's the PUB, here's all this other information, it's a 45-minute video.
Yeah.
I'll probably dip. I will, because that's not necessarily how I play the game. Like I said, I just touched PUB for the first time. I've been playing since 2019, and I didn't use PUB at all. I was just playing based off vibes, and sometimes I would like pull up. I used to take screenshots of people's passive skill trees from the PUE website. Like, I remember pulling like a Mathil build one time, and I'd go onto his character and I'd screenshot it. And as I league started, I'd have it up on my other monitor. I mean, ooh, those were some jank days.
What's wrong with that? I mean, I guess things change too. So it's actually better to like archive that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, fun someone times.
Earlier, like, yeah, if I have any, I have no functional characters right now in softcore because every single one is a test spot right now for me. Like, because I just like scrap them all and just like play around with them. So if you're trying to copy a build of mine by like, you know, importing a character, you know, you can't import anyway. But if you could, it really wouldn't work for you. You would get some weird like a character I've made to do exactly one damage and apply like just wither. You know.
Well, when I was a complete noob before I even touched YouTube, you would have hated me. I used to look at PoE Ninja and I'd like show my friends those crazy DPS builds and I'd be like, I don't understand how this is happening. How is this viable? And of course, it's someone who's just breaking the PoE Ninja system, and me, you know, little old me playing in Conquerors of the Atlas and the like, thought it was actually real. Yeah. Yeah. It's not real.
Exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. Nonsense. I know now.
But that's why, like, I get, like, when grinding gear is, like, really reluctant, or just, like, not reluctant, but cautious as opposed to, like, numbers, testing, all that stuff, like, do they want to reduce the game down to just bare bones? Because, like, there is that it's definitely fallacious to think of it that way in terms of just a snowball that like, you know, one of, I guess, infinite regress, right? Where eventually everything's just like, you're a dot, this number, you hit, you dodge. But we're so far from there, I don't think it's a legitimate risk.
Yeah.
There's people that will always think and talk that way, but as long as the game is like, fun to play and there's engaging elements, it's never going to be that stripped down.
Well, so, I'm curious about that now. I know we focused on builds for quite a bit. The game being fun to play. Jung, how are you enjoying Path of Exile 2? Is it fun?
It's hard. Okay, it's like a solid 7.5 to 8 out of 10. Right now, dude, in terms of
same score. Enjoyment, holy crap.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That checks out. I think if anyone says it's a 10, like, they're insane. I think if anyone says it's below a 5, they just don't like ARPGs.
Havoc said it was a 10 a month ago. I was like, bro, come on. You can't say that, dude. What's going on? Come on. He loves it.
I don't know if Havoc sees a lot. He's an opportunist, right? He's like, he sees something and he sees a set of constraints and he goes, okay, this is the game. Like, metaphorically speaking, how do we play it? I think that's cool.
Sorry for interrupting you, though. The 7.5 to 8 out of 10. Go.
Why are you talking? What are your points like? What are your deductions? Because I guess there's like, or how do you think about it, I guess?
All right. So I see the game in, it's truly two parts, but I'm classifying it as three right now because all I can do is rate the game as it's currently created. We have the campaign, which I classify as acts 1 through 3. We have Cruel, which is campaign 2.0, which is going to be removed, and that's why I kind of take it out of my rating at the end of the day. And then we have the end game. I think the current campaign, I think it's a 10 out of 10. I do. Or 9.5 out of 10. Maybe there are some minor things that can be updated in the next few months during early access, but I really enjoyed my campaign experience. I think in Cruel, the game breaks down and it turns, in my opinion, into just a speed fest. Everything's dying. Like I said, I'm not a great build creator. I was just bursting through everything. I didn't feel any challenge. I felt like I was playing a very easy game and it wasn't fighting against me at all. And then an end game, I think it goes down to like a, at least before this patch, 5 out of 10, maybe. Because there's, for someone who has limited time, I had no idea when I was going to be able to fight the Arbiter of Ash. Everything was RNG based. If I die in a map, I lose everything, which really sucks because I'm going to die in a map. I'm bad. I totally accept that. And my progress just is always uncertain. And it's always just left up to the gods. Like, I felt, for the way I play, I never knew if I would actually be able to hit my goals. And my goal for early access was like killing the Arbiter. In Path of Exile 1 leagues, I may get 36 challenges and I'm going to dip out. I'm going to do one build. I'm going to have fun doing it. And I'm going to dip. Yeah. And
36 is a lot.
36, I go hard 10 p.m. to like 3 a.m. for the first 2 weeks of the league. And I get those challenges, man. And then I dip out of Path of Exile for, you know, until the next league, essentially. And I just consume content, make content on it, whatever. But I play that character a little bit. But in Path of Exile 2, at the end game, which I so much loved in Path of Exile 1, all of that is gone. So it brings down this score drastically for me to like a 7 out of 10. I think that's where I'd aim it. I don't know what your opinions are on the campaign, but I really like that play style. And it's so different compared to Path of Exile 1. And I'm fine with the end game eventually turning into something that's similar in terms of speed. Once you become, you know, a god, once you invest greatly and you ingenious your way into that situation. But I think the curve should be a lot flatter than it currently is. I feel like it's just like this, if you know what you're doing. And it, like I said, when I hit Cruel, I knew what I was doing. And I just killed everything very quick. Bosses lasted like 3 seconds. And in the end game, it's very similar. Except now I'm at like the, I'm at the T15, T16, T17. And stuff is fighting back now. But that entire middle section felt bad.
You're playing Monk the whole way over though, right?
Playing Monk. And I have a Hardcore Warrior. And I played Sorceress too. Up to Act 2.5. Then I ripped on Solo Self-Found Hardcore yesterday.
Classic. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right?
Dude, I got one shot. It happened.
I think I've never thought about it intertemporally. Like, I've thought about the components separately to some degree, as in, like, campaign feels different for sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of your experience is probably to do with the build, right? Like, because Monk, well, I guess not Monk, let's say Core Staff. I hate how much they're using, like, Warrior. It's like, they're clearly talking about Maces or Left Side Tree or something.
100% true, but, like, people, if you put that like in a video, people won't understand. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, like talking about it, people just don't get it, right? I get it. I think you get it.
I keep saying, why are you playing Stormweaver? I haven't made a Stormweaver yet. But because they keep seeing Spark on my screen, or they keep seeing Lightning Arrow, they keep seeing Stormweaver Deadeye, it's like, I've not touched those sentences.
Wow.
I think Act 1 is strong.
Yeah.
Act 2 is still pretty good. I think Dreadnought's a really weird and specific zone. It's one of those zones that's like a heavy stress tester for your build.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I think it shows like a build balance issue. Because some builds are unaffected by the mods, and some builds are... You actually can't engage with content. Mosquitoes are a huge problem, for example. They're not on the ground, so anything that's ground-based can't hit them, right? If you have a burning ground effect and that's your primary damage, you do no damage, actually.
Does Spark hit them?
So yeah, Spark is not ground-targeted. But then, it's like, not?
Okay. You see, simple brain, I'm thinking it's going on like the ground and everything. Okay.
That's right, yeah. No, like things like Burning Inscription, Bone Storm targets the ground, for example. Bone Storm hits the ground. That can't hit mosquitoes half the time. You have to aim it very specifically. If you name lock, it'll always miss. So things like that. Act 3 has even more of those problems.
Okay.
But the campaign is solid. I don't know if it's like a 10 for me. I just think that the curbing is really strange. And we started talking about balance, right? I think like if you're on certain skills and certain builds, your experience is so drastically different than others. And I think that's like a little bit... It's just strange, I think, to see the difference. I've played through almost every archetype now except for crossbow. And they just feel so different, and it's like really determined by like that. But the end game is like, we probably disagree a lot on what we find painful. Like, I like the one portal stuff. The six portal content in softcore was really bad meta to have. Like, we saw highly efficient players in softcore don't do that, but there's a misconception that they do, and it's very easy to for people to bandwagon on like these narratives, especially on forums like Reddit. It's like, oh, like, yeah, it's like more efficient to just like dive your map and play classic. There's enough tools in the game, but you don't need to do that. But I don't
I like it in some regards. I think there's too many. There's like stacking punishments that make it feel especially bad, right? I feel like they could remove one of the things that I hated the most, and I didn't realize this was the case. When you die in a map, you lose your boss, and it's a special encounter. Ooh, that crushed me, man, when I first realized that.
Mm.
I just wonder if there's a few changes they could do to bring it down while also keeping the one death per map, because the stakes are cool. I will not lie about that. It makes me lock in. I like being engaged, and I like there being some fear that, oh man, you could really lose something important here aside from just experience loss as it is in Path of Exile 1. But yeah.
Well, when you do die, don't you think it's pretty fast?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Okay. That's the thing as well. So I also am a fan of that slower style of gameplay. So I'd be even more okay with one portal deaths if I knew what was going to kill me. Yeah. Or if I felt like my death was deserved. As a monk, like you said, our gameplay experiences are very different based on the class we play. As a monk, not going to lie, 90%... I swear I'm not exaggerating, okay? 90%... on death or the occasionally does cold explosions. Okay, I swear.
That is on death. That is like the bears are on death effects. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
I think those, you know, we're in Act 2 before you enter Titan's Grotto or whatever, there's the big dudes that fall on you. There's these falling skeletons and they have a summoner guy.
Yeah.
I think that monster is really frustrating. They're really, really strong. They kill you easily. But I think that's like a good example of something that fits in a game that's like more to do with what you're describing, right? A slower paced game, you're really punished. You know that thing's going to kill you. If you're uncareful, you're going to die to it because like you want to brute force, but they push you and then they triple hit you if they slam you. But it feels fair the whole time, right? But incredibly punishing. Or like the gorilla for jungle. They nerfed the rule now, so it's a bit better.
You agree with those nerfs, John?
Sorry?
Do you think those should have been nerfed?
The rule?
The gorilla?
Well, I mean, all the slams are still doing... It is 3,000 on the top end right now. 3,400 something like that. So that's more than you'll have on a, like a level 95 character, right? For like that's unskilled, crazy. If you're not like 5 seconds. So like it's still like that. Like I don't think it's like a freebie or anything.
Right.
But I think like as long as that part of maps, like, I guess like in terms of punishment, I would just wonder if you'd necessarily feel the same way if everything was just slower and more reasonable. And our time to kill is such an important metric, you know, like our time to death is so fast. I think like it just feels kind of bullshitty, you know, when you step in and I've seen some insane rips in the past few days that make no sense. And they have mostly have to do with, yeah, unloaded explosions, textures, and pretty much all on death. Yeah.
Let's kill or be killed right now, you know? And if that's changed a little bit, I think I would agree that I'd be fine with the one and done, because I will say, I've never played hardcore solo self-found, and I know that you've played a lot of that and you've done like gauntlets and everything. This is my first time playing it ever across like Path of Exile seriously. Yeah. And it is a completely different experience. I feel different when I play. I feel mentally rewarded, you know, when I overcome literally a stupid ass boss like the Devourer. Man, I was so happy. And when I killed the Act boss on my Sork, you know, I was sweating. I felt like I was fighting the Maven for the first time with the gear I still had from like Act 10 or something, you know, and when I first fought the Maven in Ritual League. When it came out, oh my gosh, it felt so good and it's so rewarding. So I know, I now see why so many people really die by saying hardcore and solo self-found are just the ways to experience these types of games. I just love it. It's good.
I like having a lot of options for sure. I think like, if normally when I play PoE, it's like I think my life, I don't really drop too far below 5 ever. Like life is pretty nice. When I'm playing video games, it's probably somewhere around like a 7 or 8. But it never really peaks too high above that. But like when I was fighting Gauntlet Maven, the most recent Gauntlet, it was like absurd. What they did was I guess in terms of raw difficulty, it's probably about 4 to 8 times harder than our baseline hardcore game. And that was probably the most fun I've ever had playing the game. Like I've never felt that degree of adrenaline since I was like playing college sports. Like it was just like unreal. Like, and I wish that like they would give us opportunities to have that degree of expression in PoE, because it's like it's a mechanic that will kill you once every 2-ish seconds, 2 to 3 seconds, 2.5 seconds, and then that fight goes on for about, I think I was in there for like 12 minutes.
It was insane, man.
Like, I would just want to see that. Like, if they can kind of have more of that. Arbiter is interesting, but it's more about like the timings are tight, but the reactions are slow and your movement is weak. In regular combat, I don't mind the slower. For some reason, when it comes to bossing, I really like the hyper fast pace, a bit more twitch based, a bit more reactive. And a little bit more, and this might be unpopular, but a little bit more line dancey, kind of like how MMOs, they have very, like, it's a bit more pattern recognition and repetition, rehearsal. And even despite that, you see people die over and over again, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I like that. I think, like, it allows you to have so much room for, like, expression and beautiful movement. Mm-hmm. And, so I'm hoping they kind of bring that in soon.
Especially if it's mixed with that vision of 1 to 3 minute long fights when you're encountering it for the first few times. I like those extended sequences. I really
make
like the
10,
first
one. You know?
Say again?
Make it 10 minutes.
Hey, I totally agree with you, because I feel like that is where they have peaked in this game, from my point of view at least. I think those boss fights are genuinely good. The only thing that lessens them for me is encountering them in Cruel and killing them in 5 seconds and feeling like, wow, that sucked. And then doing it again in maps, and at least tiers, honestly, 1 through 15, until I start getting those boss difficulty nodes on the boss atlas, doing the same exact thing, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I know this is a good fight, but I'm just destroying it. I really need to get a character that's not quarterstaff to the end game. I just need to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Ben did the whole basic attack thing for a while, Mace Strike.
Oh.
It's pretty strong, though. It's like probably the strongest Mace skill for some reason.
That is kind of wild. Was it dual wielding or like a two-hander?
Yeah, it's Titans. Yeah, it's two-hander with shield.
Two-hander with shield.
Like, our defense are so scarce. We're like willing to sacrifice everything for more defense, right? It's kind of absurd.
Right. Okay, well, maybe I'll try something similar. Maybe I'll get there on hardcore solo self-found. It's possible on a warrior of all things. It could happen. Okay, I just got to take it slow. Dude, the difference is so crazy. I played Sork to like 2.5 through halfway through Act 2.
Yeah.
Barely any problems. Warrior right now, every map is a struggle.
Interesting. I was very flipped on that. I was extremely flipped. Yeah.
I'm in the place with all the blighted creatures, and I almost died every peck because I'm getting the poison flying at me, the explosions.
Creatures.
What?
I don't understand what that means.
Oh, they got like the poison pustules on them. It's between the forest and the graveyard, those creatures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those
like
guys.
Or something? Or like, I guess the one, the hunting ground or something like that?
No. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I
don't like watch, I don't see like what's actually happening.
Well, I can't. I know the beginning of the conversation. Grim Tangle, that area.
Oh, you're really at the start. I see.
I'm really at the start, man.
You're still some time to play, man. It's like, I think it's so much more richness, like, to see this game out. Like, each playthrough so far has been pretty new. I think, like, the monster recognition side of it is going to be big.
Yeah.
Like, in PoE 1, we had, like, 3 different, less than 5 really dangerous monster types. Skeleton mages, cannibals. We used to have porcupines. They don't really exist anymore. In terms of, like, the core game stuff. And I think that's actually it that I can think of right now in terms of like really truly dangerous mobs you have to think about. In PvE2, it's like about half the mob types, right? Like,
right.
There's some element of you should play better to like, other than just like hit them, walk fast, walk past, don't backtrack. I think like they like playing through, if you're on HC, pay attention to the monsters, you'll get so much value out of it, you know, and enjoyment. Like the mastery of it.
I really enjoy that. So, and seeing now the difference between first playthrough versus a playthrough now, because they've done a bunch of balance with those monster types too. There were a few patch note changes that I was a little, do I want this to happen? I think one of them was the vulture demon used to leap, I think, like 72 screens away and just do one caw and it would just land on you. And now I think they can only do it a screen away. But I liked it when they came from freaking nowhere and I just heard the caw and I had to dodge. I like that.
Oh, you hear that? Okay. Because they're bugged in the terrain. You can't hit them.
Oh, they're bugged?
Like, well, I don't know if they're bugged, but you can see them, kind of, because the terrain, the textures are bugged. Uh-oh. So you can see them coming, but you can't actually hit them.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, really in the spires of Deshrar map. Yeah, 100%. That's rough. Those things were terrifying to me. And then the filthy crones. That was the other one where if you played melee and you were point blank, they would vomit all over you, and it's insta-death. That was super punishing, but it was telegraphed. I had to change the way I played, and it wasn't punishing at all to ranged. I'm on the train of maybe leave those crazy monsters in the game. I like those ones that I will remember. Okay, when I play through on my 20th playthrough in 2026, because I'm playing a lot, I'm gonna know. Okay, filthy crones, stay the hell away when they start to gurgle a little bit because you were done. I like that.
Yeah. Those things are, I wonder about the numbers, you know, sometimes, like, it's just, their calculation is interesting, too. The full shotgun in Act 3, if you have 0 chaos res, you get hit by the full shotgun, I think it's somewhere in the range of, like, 5,000. Like, the numbers are really high. I ran in with a ghost, oh, no, sorry, it's about 3,000. I ran in with a ghost ride character at 50 chaos res, and I got hit for 2.5k, so it's a lot of damage. And it's, like, that's my hybrid defense, so that seems about right.
Yeah, so that's why I just classified it as one shot, because it would one shot my monk almost right now.
Yeah, like I don't know how much I like punishing. I think in Diablo 3, do you play D3?
I played a little bit of D3, not a lot. No,
on release or ROS? Or like
later? I played Reaper of Souls partway through the campaign. I actually bounced in Act 3 to Path of Exile because I didn't like the story of Asmodan, and I said, okay, I need something actually dark. What's a game like Diablo? Literally in 2019. Diablo-like game on Google, and Path of Exile popped up.
Damn.
I know.
Interesting. Okay, early D3, I liked their design. It's like the most unpopular thing ever, but...
Go for it.
Everything would kill you, basically. But if you were like a... whatever it's called, the Sork or that archetype...
The Mage or Wizard. Was it Wizard in D3?
Oh yeah, I think so. They had a thing that like you couldn't be hit for more than 35% of your health, no matter what it was. And I thought about that in terms of design perspective. Like obviously it introduces huge problems, but at the same time it's like, unless there's certain abilities, should they really one shot you? Like should they really be one shotting you? I get it when you get slammed by like a big thunder thing. I get it when you get hit by. But, like, you get hit by one detonate dead corpse and you die. Or you get hit by, like, a white mob doing some, like... The spinning thing is kind of, like... that's, like, kind of on the fringe for, like, I wonder which way I would actually prefer. Because I kind of agree with you. Like, I like difficulty in that way. But that's kind of, like, ooh. How much, right? Like, can you outgear it? The opportunity to outgear, if you really work on it, for those kinds of monsters, should be present. I think the opportunity to outgear something like Arbiter's one-shot abilities shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But they have that backwards right now.
Yeah, it's a good thought because, man, Act 3, not being able to outgear, I think I'd agree with you. I think there's just tuning. Like, maybe for if you're going through and you're just going area by area, level 20 area, you're level 20, maybe it is that one shot capability. But if you really want to outgear it, like you're saying, it's possible. Right now, from the damage values you're talking about, it does not sound possible in the slightest.
Yeah, and gear is hard too. Like, I don't know how to gear still, I'll be honest. Like, I know
everyone's learning, dude.
Well, there's nothing to do. Like, you're just playing the lottery, right? That's like a weak part of the game for sure.
Is that so?
Like 8 or 7 for me, it's like there's no gearing, there's no expression of skill in terms of how you craft your items.
Which system, before we talk a little bit about Path of Exile 1, which system of crafting from PoE 1 would you prefer that they drop into Path of Exile 2 relatively soon, if you had your pick of the entire litter?
Like Modern Harvest, yeah.
Modern Harvest? I think so, like, not OG Harvest.
No, absolutely not. I didn't even play that league, actually. I skipped Ritual.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you did?
I don't know, I was just...
Didn't you like the Maven race or anything? Oh, really?
I didn't start racing until pretty late, too. Like, all of it is, like, really recent for me in terms of, like, really liking PoE. Because I felt like it was, like, one of those games, the more you like it, the more you play it, the more you like it. It's just, like, constantly feeding its own cycle, right? Because the depth and complexity and the community with it is... People feel like a lot of the streamers and stuff are, like, a little bit, like, harsh. Or, like, it just seems like kind of... Not even in that way, but it just feels like you enter the chat and your first time typing in, like, bench chat or like steel major chat or something, like 200 people make fun of you if you ask a question. But if you sit there for an hour, you'll learn more than you probably would have in the rest of the time you have been playing the game. And I think that cycle of like constant learning and constant being able to like get that information, everyone actually wants to like share information because it's always developing. It's made PoE really rewarding in that way.
You've hit it on the head. That's why I really like Path of Exile 1 and hopefully 2 so far. Yes, it's because every time I played, every time I watch someone like a streamer, I always felt like I was learning something, and I like a game where I can invest that time into it and just constantly be rewarded year after year. It's not, I used to play a lot of Guild Wars 2, which is an MMO. I'm sure you know, and I didn't feel that way at all. Even with Dota 2, I mean, kinda, but at a point I felt like I had a pretty good handle on it. I just wasn't the best, right? I knew all the different interactions and how things operated. But with Path of Exile 1, man, I just constantly, new things happen. And it changes so often, too. That's cool.
Did you do the PvE side of Guild Wars more or PvP side?
I did both. No World versus World. I did quite a bit of structured PvP and then a lot of PvE with my wife, like the raids and everything. Have you played?
Yeah, I saw the last tier. It was pretty good, I thought, like, the way they did the fight design. Like, I didn't see, like, the hard mode of it or whatever, but I played during, like, on the launch day, and it was, like... Because I have a couple friends who are, like, streaming, like, Guild Wars streamers, and they're, like... The raid design is pretty strong, I think. I, like, yeah, but that's the kind of thing that I kind of like to see, like, in a game. Like, the amount of dancing and movement and the coordination, and... Yep. It's, like, there's, like, 4 or 6 different patterns that might appear on one mechanic. That's sort of the decision-making that I like to see when it comes to boss fights, so...
Yeah. Huge fan of the raids, especially I really like the first 4. I think the very first one that came out, Spirit Veil with Sabatha and Gorsaval and the Veil Guardian, that'll always hold a special place in my heart because it was the first time that Guild Wars ever got difficult 10-man content. And I remember going in there and just spending hours and hours trying to learn these mechanics and finally downing them in that game after I'd played it for like 3 years or something before with nothing like this. And these characters, it was different.
Yeah. Probably your question was, though, entirely, but...
Oh, no, you're totally fine, man.
Oh, crafting, yeah.
Yeah, crafting. Yeah. So I'm a little curious. We're almost at an hour. I said I'd only keep that long. Thank you so much for chatting. I really appreciate it, Jung.
Cool, man. I appreciate what you're doing. Like, again, it's just huge, right? Like, I think, like, always having, like, more conversation, more discussion.
Yeah.
It lets you actually, like, for me, like, see what people actually think. And I think when people on stream, like, you have a degree of insulation, which is both good and bad from a... Will you talk and say what you really mean? But I think when you're able to talk to people, a lot of times it opens my eyes at least what people really think. And I think it allows me to build a bit more sympathy a lot of times for like, oh, I see why you've like, are choosing to take this approach to this, or like, you know, like just in builds and like gameplay and stuff. And like the content creation side is always an interesting one, right?
Yeah. It's only been positive. Like just everybody's opinions, talking to everyone. I feel I had my very first pod right after Path of Exile 2 came out. It was with Lighty, not Ben, but Lady yeah. Gaming, who does like an all for one series. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the unique guy. He hated Path of Exile too. It was, I mean, it was the craziest conversation after I'm on this high after loving the game, and I've never played that much of a video game in my life in that weekend, and I was really enjoying it. And I hopped on the pod with him, and he was like, "This is terrible. I'm gonna stop playing." And, oh, and even then, like, I really enjoyed the chat. It was good. And he's playing Necro Settlers right now, which I cannot believe. But to each their own. To each their own. And speaking of that, Junk, I know you said you couldn't wait for 3.26. What do you think the future is going to be of Path of Exile 1? And I know this might be a little bit of a, I don't know, spicy or difficult question, because we know what Grinding Gear Games has said. They're supporting both. But man, everybody really in the community has the sentiment, or a lot of people who are writing posts, talking, and you know, my comments and everything, they seem very dour on the future of PoE 1. From your perspective, I mean, obviously PoE 2 has been very successful for Grinding Gear Games. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're gonna go back on what they've said? Do you think they're just gonna say, okay, well, PoE 1 back burner, PoE 2, you're the new favorite child?
I think from a predictive lens, from a descriptive one of like what is, if I had to like make a guess, I think that like I think there's a 0% chance that PoE 1 never gets another update. But I wouldn't be surprised if the current league duration of 3.26, whatever, part 2, is going to be about a year. Because it's really clear, like, if you just in terms of timing, like, they want to release a new PoE 2 patch for sure, upcoming. The Temporal Stoop issue was a big one, and a lot of the skill bounce stuff is really bad right now. So they want to do that, but they don't want to set a precedent of mid-league nerfs, despite... I mean, it is what it is, but...
Junk. You answered that so professionally earlier. Come on.
I mean, I like it's like I just track it since 3.14. I think in 70% of leagues, I've received a mid league nerf. To something I'm playing, and a lot of times it's just something I'm playing. Like it's not like specific. Like it's not like a generalized build. It's so interesting.
How does this happen?
I mean, you choose to toe the line, right? I mean, I'm not like. Surprise, it just is what it is. But I think that when it comes to the new update, like let's say they want to release the new patch in February, which is what I think is gonna happen, late February, where it means PoE 1's getting pushed back even more. I think from a not like nor I guess like from a strategic lens, I guess, I would personally think that they should be looking to like just gauge how things are with PoE 1. Because to be honest, like no one has information on it. A lot of their numbers recently have been both artificially inflated and deflated because of what they're doing on launch. Like they'll sponsor like crowd to play for like 20 hours, something in a row. Right.
Yeah.
And they'll do weird things to their numbers for concurrence and stuff. And retention is why it's a lot of why a lot of people look at retention as their kind of core number. But I think if they like run it through one more time, see how it is and probably like look to trim some of the stuff without doing an expedition type patch, but just like a lighter bounce patch with like one or two light pieces of content. I think it's going to be really strong beliefs. But it's definitely like people should not be expecting a 6-month league. Even we were expecting 4. We were thinking November, right? Originally was gonna be the next league.
Yeah,
I think a year is not unreasonable. Like,
wow,
I was really, really I took the last gauntlet really seriously because when I was talking to Alec before the gauntlet in LA, we were like properly messed up at night and we were like just hanging out and I was like, dude. Last gauntlet, probably this time. Like, it's probably, like, the last one we'll ever have. Like, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, probably the last PoE 1 league, you know? It's a nausea chance, so... Yeah, I'm kind of just, like, never take anything for granted, and because of that, I'm like, yeah, it is what it is, but I think they really should try to gauge how things will be, you know? Just, like, run it through one more time, at least.
Right. Properly. I think that's pretty measured, and honestly, I think you could be right, because from their pre-PoE 2 launch video, that night before video, that they released and they were like, whoa, we didn't think this was gonna happen. We're like at a million units sold essentially. Like, what, this is crazy. They literally did not, which is crazy to me, Jung. They didn't expect this. And I feel like with the concurrence that have kept up until this very day, you know, we're 200,000 plus on Steam, nothing on standalone. I play on standalone, lots of console players, all this drama, which we didn't even talk about. With the, you know, biggest exposure possible for GGG from this dude, just going bananas on social media. I mean,
what can I just so that we're here, what's your like broad overarching take on like not like on the situation, but just like if someone just asked you like, hey, like, you know, because I've been getting, unfortunately I appeared in one of the videos, like Quinn for some reason decided that it'd be a good idea to stick my face in his video.
Oh, I'm just sorry, like, bro. Oh,
nonsense God. Piece, like a very, very weird insertion of like, this is what an efficient player does, and it's like shows me and then shows Ben, which is nonsense because I was like in a, I was wearing like my like, I have like a snuggy thing and I was like just chilling out.
Oh no,
like,
dude.
The maps. Yeah. But then it's prompted like a lot of people that I haven't talked to in like, you know, a year, 2, 3, 4 years. Just yep. like, yeah, I saw you in this, like, what's going on? And like, I think it's like, how do you feel about situation, the people involved, that sort of thing, just high level?
I feel that it's a net positive for grinding your games because it's a lot of free exposure.
Sure.
Obviously they're also in a kind of a tough position because from my perspective, I'm not an expert on all like the TOS and everything, but obviously some rule bending is going on here potentially. I won't say anything with assertion, yeah. But I do think there are some, I guess illegal isn't the right word, but unsavory activities going on. And yeah. I mean, it really sucks that that's what type of advertisement the game is getting, but I don't know what GGG do in this situation. You know, it's like, it's a no win for them. Cause honestly, the more Elon plays PoE2 or streams it on X or whatever, the more right. crazy drama videos Quinn puts out that are getting 800,000 views in 3 days. Like you said, people are reaching out to you. You haven't talked to in years. Yeah. My grandma knows about the Elon Musk PoE2 story. And she's just like on Facebook and she doesn't understand what Twitch is. She doesn't understand what YouTube is. That's like a bad example because my grandma's never going to play Path of Exile 2, but there's a gamer out there that's like, oh wow, the footage on this game that Elon's playing looks pretty damn good. I might check it out. Okay. And that's great for GGG.
Right.
So my take on it is just like, I think it's all stupid, but I think it's good for grinding your games. So I don't think they do anything about it, really. What do you think? I'm curious, because I haven't heard you talk about it.
I was just wondering what you thought, like, not much of a political commentator, I take it.
I am not a political commentator at all. No. Nope.
You're done.
And I just thought, are you drunk? No?
No, I've left politics.
Good. Good. Nice. Are you in Canada? I didn't ask you. You're talking about Toronto. You are? Okay, yeah. I'm in the US.
I used to work in Parliament, so I've like done work on a lot of sides of our government, and it's very different compared to like the things that are happening are like, I'm always surprised in a very like it's almost comedic to me what happens a lot of times because I did a lot.
It
of,
is
like,
insane to think that the next most powerful person in the U.S. government is beefing with like Asmund about PoE2 stuff. I can't believe the timeline we're living in. Like when I saw the drama this morning unfold. What? Yeah, I saw the DMs got leaked. And then before we got on, I was listening to the Asmund video. Yeah. Asmund was messaging with him last night about PoE2. And Asmund was saying, like, bro, you know, you're flying too close to the sun with a level 97 character, LOL. Maybe you should, you know, not do that. And I guess Elon was kind of, you know, jesting with him. And then when Asmund went to bed, he debarred.
That's crazy. I mean, like, we have tons of petty things happen in PoE, but, like, people, for the most part, when, like, after taking a breath, are just, like, that was fun. Like, I loved that. Like, whatever fight it was, whatever drama, it's, like, it's all kind of just, like, mostly under the rug. Aside from when certain things happen, people get banned. Mm-hmm. But, like, to see, like, imagine taking the next course of action in that case, you know? Taking the time out of your busy day and your busy life to... I'm just trying to stay out of it, to be honest, personally, because like I'm worried. Taylor Swift came to Vancouver recently. Her concert was here. She ended her Eras tour here.
Oh, nice.
Tickets were like, I don't know, $50,000 each. Absolutely not.
They were what?
Yeah, it was like somewhere in that range. So I don't know. Maybe I might be off by like $1,000, but not by
that's
much,
still crazy. You know? That's crazy.
But to see like what fandoms do for celebrities is very scary. So as a content creator, even though you do a lot of show content, I would always think first about safety at a very tangible and literal level. Yeah,
you are very right, because I thought it was a very harmless tweet, you know, about this a while back before all this blew up. I didn't even tag anyone. At this point, I said, you know, I disagree, you know, with Elon on something about PoE2, and somebody commented on it and tagged him, And then he responded in my little tweet chain. I had to private DMs that day. You know, it is crazy. Like, it's something, it's a powder keg. You just can't talk about it. And then I did a brief mention in like a newsy style video about it, like a few minute segment, just talking about it, trying not to take too harsh of an opinion. And man, people are, they are polarized on that topic. They are.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, and like myself included, people will hear what they want. Like, there's always what's being said, something in between, and then what people hear.
Mm.
And just, you know, I think if like certain people hear something, it's not worth it. You know, at the end of the day, like, we're just having a good time. It's,
yeah,
it's just keeping that way. And I hope they manage things right, because if they don't, like, it's just scary, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah. It's cool.
Oh, gosh. Well, that was an interesting note to end everything on, man. Now, I always ask everybody this before we close things out about PoE 2. What's the one thing that you're most looking forward to be introduced? Like, class, archetype, weapon, whatever, like campaign, more endgame, I don't know.
Maybe I'm coping, but racing.
I mean, racing.
I want to see, okay, like, PoE's great competition, right?
Like, I think it would be pretty dang cool in PoE 2. Like, just what type of race? So I know you did a pretty cool, was it two Void Stones race, three Void Stones race a while back? I thought that was pretty cool, like mid-league. What do you think would be the equivalent in Path of Exile 2?
I mean, it's always corporate run, right? So, like, you think about it from the, if you're a sponsor, sponsoring an event, like, hours cost money, but also viewer attention costs something. And I think that trying to pin the exact duration for something is interesting. I think, like, to start out, it's going to be a campaign race. Or an Act 3 race, right? Like, I don't think, like, we're looking at Arbiter Rush or anything like that. It's nonsense. And especially since the campaign is good. Like, why not? But the only problem right now in PoE is that RNG is, like, really strong. I think, like, a good weapon gives you somewhere between 200% or 300% of your damage. So, but I think that... Do you play Smash Bros?
I do. Yeah, I play Melee? Ultimate. I've played Melee and whatever was on the... Yeah. Say again?
Like, documentary?
No.
They released like the Smash documentary a while back, like not like, I think it's like GR Smash, I forgot who did it, but it's like a fan-made documentary of just like the top players during esports at the time. And when the documentary came out, Melee's popularity like ballooned. It went from like a dying game, because it literally is so old, to still to this day one of the most popular like FGC communities, period. Not like everyone on top, but like the fact that it still exists. And I think like Riot Games, for example, technically they lose hundreds of millions of dollars in esports a year. But it's a massive marketing scheme for them, right? Like, they make tons on it. Like, because, you know, someone watches Faker at Worlds, they log in for the first time in 3.5 years, and then they buy, like, 40 skins. unfortunately, no to these people. And I think that ignoring that option, like, there's no downside to having... Well, there are, but I think the downsides of having a competitive scene and, like, offering that up and, like, creating those opportunities for grinding gear are far outweighed by, like, the excitement, the stakes that can be created, the feeling of like participating in competition, even if you don't win, even if you don't place. Like, there's so many people that like always talk to me after Dauntless during progression, like about their experiences, why they like to compete, their like how it kind of reconfigures their understanding of the game and thousands of experiences in different ways. And you know, especially when you're old, how many more times do you have to compete? You know, it gives just the opportunity to be amazing.
The stellar sentiment, man. I'd love to if they even brought back just those really short basic races that they had way back when I was nowhere near to playing Path of Exile 1. I think I would actually participate in those and try those, even though I don't think I'd win. It'd still be a cool experience, like you say. Like, I did try the Gauntlet. I got my arse kicked, but it was quite fun just participating in the community event and then watching everybody else play. If they had just those brief races, like maybe to the Crowbell or something for a day where they ran like 10 of them consecutively and there were even just tiny rewards. You know, or just medals or shit like that on the forums. I don't know. It'd be really, really cool. I think that'd be awesome for the community. And like we've talked about a few times, our community is very large. It's very large. Yeah, I'd say it's pretty large. I think the community in Path of Exile is big and it's vibrant. And there's a lot of different voices and we're decently entertaining, I think. Well, man, this has been an awesome chat. Thank you so much for sitting down, chatting with me. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about with PoE 2 or anything to say to the people watching the VOD or the live chatters?
Yeah. Patch notes just came out, right? And I think that if you stream more in these coming days, like, or like, you're going to get a lot of doomers. And for everyone that's dooming in patch notes, it's just a skill issue, right? If you see a patch note that directly affects you, just think of it as a new conceptual challenge. Just think of it as another opportunity to pivot into something else, to explore something new, to steal another Korean build. Like, it's always more fun. And I just think, don't let the doomers be too loud. You know, I understand they're going to be there. I understand there's a lot of caution. Like, they'll be presented like, oh, like, I'm worried about this. But at the end of the day, hey, like, the more changes right now, the more fun the game will be. So, yeah.
Totally.
Cheers, that was good talking.
I totally agree. Thanks so much, Jung. I'll talk to you later, man. It's been great.
Have a good one. Good night.
Thanks.